Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
We have our first in-person guest in who knows when.
A return guest, no less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got Dan from Around the Bend Brewing. Good to have our beer co, right?
Yeah, it's beer co, exactly. Right. Everybody fucks that up.
Yeah, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, this is awesome.
And, I don't know, we've talked during all the last 2 years. We've picked up beer. We've had beer on here, juice trials and other things. And now
nice.
You've got this new series, and we're just here to talk about this and everything that you got going on.
And anything else you want. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, a little catch up. I forgot about juice trials. Juice trials was nice. Yeah. That wasn't around a bit. I guess I wasn't used to it because the art was different, right? I feel like juice trials had a little different art than what we were used to.
Yeah, we changed the label each time we brew it because we changed the hops each time we brew it.
Okay.
So
okay.
Figure, got to show somebody there's something different about this thing.
And then we just had the Vienna Lager.
Oh, the Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver, not, right. Too, not too long ago. That was right. Tasty.
Yeah.
That one turned out nice.
Yeah.
I was really happy with that.
Especially Nick and I are all about these lagers these days. We're just like easy drinking, low ABV beers. Let's go.
You can get a little more sweetness on the Vienna one, you know. It's fun. It kind of takes your mind off your just traditional, what we all know to be a lager. They're like the mass lagers, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a Pils or something like that. It's, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So where we got to open a beer. So where do we start?
Yeah. Let's start with the strawberry pie.
Strawberry pie.
Strawberry pie a la mode.
Okay. So I was in, a month ago now, and you gave me a little taste of this,
did it pull off the fermenter,
test,
right?
Yeah.
That is good and red.
Look at
right
that
there,
color. Man. That's like staining. That's got a stain in
your
nose.
Yeah. So this is the first in a new series, as you mentioned, that we're doing. We're kind of affectionately referring it to it as the pastry party.
Okay.
So it will be pastry sours, and then eventually in the fall, pastry stouts.
Okay.
So it'll kind of encompass, you know, all that jazz.
Okay, because that's the cinnamon roll.
Yeah, we've got kind of a pilot batch on that we can talk about too if you want. But this first one, strawberry pie a la mode, kind of like what we do with our acid test. We're not doing a kettle sour on this. We're using a different yeast strain that actually ferments the beer while it sours it, right?
Oh, okay.
And this one, we use a different strain from a company out west called Berkeley Yeast, and they've gone in and genetically modified a yeast strain so that it throws off lactic acid as it's fermenting the beer.
Oh.
But it doesn't get as sour. It doesn't drop the pH as far as like we do with acid tests. That's more like a sharper, you know, sour that we do add some fruit to, but that's a sour beer, right?
Okay.
You want sour and pucker. This is more about, you know, that pastry flavor that's coming through. So we want to have it a little less sour and then really let the fruits and whatever else we're putting in there shine. So in this case, all that luscious, you know, strawberry flavor oozing out of it. Mm-hmm. But then it's also brewed with some lactose, right? Milk sugar, for those of you who don't know, and vanilla. So that mimics that, you know, sort of the scoop of ice cream on the top of your slice of pie kind of flavor.
Okay. No, I'm digging this.
Yeah, that's fun. Lightly soured with strawberry lactose and spelt flavors.
Mm-hmm. So. Can you not get the same, I don't know, the same feeling from a kettle sour? Like what's the, because I feel like most people have seen, they know sour ales and now kettle sours. So this
exactly.
is like almost hitting that middle
yeah.
a little more.
It's a different way to do the quick sour, right?
Okay.
Because, like, obviously, you know, traditional sour, Belgian, right? That's going to take you 3 years in a barrel, you know, to do whatever, right? don't have that kind of time for everything, right? Although we are doing a lambic-esque thing. I've got a barrel sitting around at Breer's now. It's 2 years in already. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, excuse me.
I'm sure the pandemic helped keep some of those, like, oh, yeah, just throw sour in here and see what happens.
But the difference with this approach versus a kettle sour, it's a couple things, right? One, brewery process, right? In the brewery, you're doing a kettle sour, you're adding lactobacillus into the tank, and you're shutting down the brew house for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, you know, depends on how long it takes your pH to drop, right? Okay. So you can't do anything in that kettle until it's dropped to the pH you want. And then you fire it up again, boil it, kill that bug that's in there that's been doing the souring, and then you go on your merry way, ferment the beer out. With this, we go ahead and we brew the beer, we brew the wort, and, you know, knock it out into the fermenter and just add this pitch into the FV, and it does all that work in that one vessel. So we don't have to tie up the brew house for a period of time. And as you guys know, we work out of district brew yards, four different breweries working there. There's a little bit of a premium on making sure the brew house is operating, right? The other thing, and more important, so that's a process thing. So, you know, that's important for us. But what's important for the drinker, I think, is to my palate, what these yeast strains do is they only produce lactic acid, right? That's the only thing that's adding to the sourness. Whereas with lactobacillus, you can get some other different components souring your beer. That can be some acetic acid that comes in, which can be a little bit harsher in nature. So that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, folks with kettle sours are like, ooh, that's a little bit, you know.
Okay.
Not always, you know, it depends, you know, there's skill in being able to work that. But this provides a sort of a really, you know, easy drinking sour that's only going to be lactic acid. It's always going to be, you know, even keeled and smooth and very repeatable.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get this nice kind of, I don't know, strawberry syrup kind of color on something?
Isn't that an awesome color?
That's very nice.
Are you videotaping this as well?
Yeah.
Can they see it?
It's very nice. Fills out the glass nicely. Yeah.
I mean, there's a shitload of strawberry in this, you know, which helps. There's also a little bit of secret sauce in there. A little bit of beet juice, which is blood red. Yeah, and, you know, for anybody listening, doesn't taste like beets. Beet juice just tastes like sugar. You know, in fact, that's what a lot of, you know, refined sugar comes from is, you know, beetroots these days. Hmm. But it really has got a deep red color. So that kind of helps with that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Nice. So you're doing this series now. There's four breweries in District Brew Yards, and each sort of have their own distinct style a little bit. Like, what made you start doing these sour ales or shift to kind of this thing? Because you were like these, I don't know, like the pistachio cream ale. Like, there's kind of fun ingredients, but also these juice trials were becoming a bigger thing. Like, what made you kind of?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, our DNA has always been, you know, exploration and experimentation, right? And that's even where the name comes from, right? We feel like if you keep trying new things, you keep trying to push boundaries, you never know what's around the bend, right? Okay. And so it's just a natural extension, you know, for my mind anyway, of where the brand should go, right? And we got into sours via the acid test series that we do, you know, 2 years ago now, just because, you know, I was drinking more and more sours, loving it, and I started exploring, you know, well, what could we do that's different? What could we do that's, you know, kind of our take and around the bend take, you know, a push on it? And I was at a meeting, it was actually over at On Tour, and one of the guys from Goose Island, so it was kind of like all the you know, Chicago Brewing District brewers came together to get like a readout on one of the Master Brewers Association meetings that the Goose guy had gone to up in fucking Canada, I think it was. I don't know where it was, Quebec or something like that. And he came down and was like, you know, I know not everybody could go to this, so I'm going to, you know, I'll read out my notes if anyone wants to come. And he started talking about this yeast from Lallemand that does this fermenting in the you know, in the FV. And I was like, wow, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It's right up our alley with doing things different, experimentation, you know, new stuff in beer, I got to try it. And so that's where acid test started from, right? I started doing it that way. And then late last year, you know, I was really enjoying sours and kind of seeing the popularity of more of the kind of the pastry, you know, beers, you know, happening out in the market, both from the sour and from the stout perspective, right? And I said, well, what if we applied that same, you know, technology, as it were, that we're using on acid test, but in this other slightly different category of sours, right? Okay. And let's see what we can do there. So we piloted it and did, you know, a small batch just at Brouillard's and then made some tweaks on it, you know, to kind of improve and bring those flavors up and through. And I just see it as really a natural extension of, you know, what we do. We try to push boundaries, do new things, and see where they go.
That's fun that you guys are using, yeah, this new yeast, because I feel like even the Quike yeast from Burnt City, they were like one of the, not the first, but one of the people that were like, oh, they're like all about this.
Yeah,
like,
they had the fest.
And now we've heard it from a few people. They're like, oh, if you want to have a beer ready in like 4 days, just use this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. There's so much fun shit going on in brewing technology these days. It's like, you know, we could do experiments like this ad infinitum, right? We've got a whole series of hazies like that we call the hashtag science series,
right,
where we do little experiments, and like the next one we're going to do like the exact same beer but use two different yeasts that are supposed to unlock thiols. And thiols are a chemical compound that's found both in hops and in malt, but it's generally glycosidically bound up, so they don't really taste them. But Omega, and again, these Berkeley yeast guys who, you know, we get the yeast for this, have both used CRISPR to edit gene technology to make a yeast that unbinds the thiols and releases these guava and gooseberry and Sauvignon Blanc notes from hops and malt. So that'll be a fun thing that we're going to be doing coming up here in the next couple weeks as well. But exploration. What's new? What's next?
Yeah,
what can we do with beer? You know,
the last science one we had from you guys was it was a silver can with like, I feel like circles.
It's like
colorful circles.
Control for Smilers, maybe?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we try to keep those all silver.
I know how it looks, but I don't remember the name. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was tasty.
Yeah, and I enjoy how this strawberry pile of mode, everything that you say is in it, you taste it, but everything's kind of kept in check. You know, like you're getting it all at once, right? It's not like got edges or anything. It's just like very enjoyable, very approachable, I think.
Yeah. Too. That's the other thing about this whole series. Because I don't want to just be chasing trends, right?
Yeah.
Because some of these pastry sours, you know, it's kind of hot out there. But I'm not going to name any names, but I've opened up a few cans of some of these, and it's like diabetes in a can, you know, and it's like, that is too fucking sweet, and it is just, it's too much. So I'm glad you said, you know, kept in check, you know, balance.
Well, that's something we like from the kettle sours, like the Revs, like Freedom series.
Yeah,
they're good, like summer beers too, and I like where this like winter, like you said, the stouts, you're gonna have the season. It's like, oh, you kind of need a similar thing in the summer. You want those fruit flavors, but not
yeah.
like a beer that's like, I just ate an entire pie.
Yeah, and that was sweet, but it wasn't like cloyingly sweet,
right?
It's not going to bang you over the head with it. I like balance in our stuff, so that's what I'm going for.
And so now we just opened this blueberry pancake breakfast sour.
The breakfast sour. Everybody needs a good breakfast sour in their life.
Nick is always about these breakfast beers.
Man, you know? And, you know, when a sour, when it's done right, like these kettle sours or any kind of small sours, it's like they kind of take the place of what you would traditionally have for breakfast. And also, like, if you've been drinking all day, it can kind of take the place of, like, your lager and your pills. You know, sometimes I'd prefer, like, that a cider or a sour to just kind of keep the party going.
Is chorizo exactly. waffle, BYOB?
Oh, yeah. It's not chorizo waffle. What's the name of that joint?
It's churro waffle.
Churro waffle.
Churro waffle.
Churro waffle. It's a joint on
sounds good.
Irving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's as advertised. It's probably the best thing over here, man. Yeah. Look, a churro waffle's nice, man.
All right.
Yeah, breakfast joint.
That's a BYOB.
Yeah.
Or you can probably pick it up.
And, you know, we do whatever we want, Brad. Everything's BYOB, you know?
So this one, to me, is like having a plate of blueberry pancakes right in front of you, man. I mean, yeah. The maple syrup that we add in there really brings that sort of, you know, plate of pancakes flavor to the fore. The blueberries are big and up front. And again, sweet, but not, you know, not going to knock your teeth out sweet, right?
I feel like I just made, like, waffles this weekend. Like, I was out, we were drinking at Still Life, and my wife and I were like, we need a waffle maker. We don't have one. And we ordered a waffle maker, so we just got one. And I feel like this would be a good beer to go with our waffles.
Right on.
I like this one. And these beers are so pretty, too. Man.
Yeah, very deep purple hue. So this has no tricks to it. This is just from the blueberry juice that we get up at Greenwood. That's what's providing all that color to it. So
now, is that a local thing, Greenwood? What is?
Yeah, they're up in Niles. I've run into multiple different brewers. Like, I've run into Mike from Microphone up there, like, picking up fruit, or Jerome from Bulldog. I'm like, hey, I didn't know you were going to be here today. You could have picked up my shit. But, yeah.
So Nick and I were talking, I think right before you came, we're like, so there's four breweries here. Like, what? I don't know. Who's the most popular?
Is it
pretty even?
We're all good friends over there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But is it pretty even, you think?
So it is. It is pretty even, yeah.
People that don't know, I think we're talking Bulldog, Casa Humilde, Around the Bend,
and
Burn City.
I feel like when I go there, I will often be like, well, I have to try one from everybody.
There's a lot of folks who do that. Yeah. Absolutely. Right? There's four walls there.
I feel like Around the Bend and Burn City have been around longer. I could be wrong.
But a little bit.
It feels like they've been around longer than the other two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, we're about to throw our 7th anniversary party.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Our anniversary party is going to be the unofficial after party after Bug.
Oh, again, that's
because we're right down the road from Union Station. So
you didn't come that one year.
There was a party.
Oh yeah, that was your.
Where was I?
I think that was your.
This was the last Bug.
You went to more. Your henna. You were a mess.
Yeah, I saw everybody at Bug, and I was like, it was 5 p.m. and I'm hungover. It was bad.
Yeah, that's enough.
It was like more henna and Bug were the same day, and Dark Lord Day was the next day. It was a mess.
That's too much.
It was a bad idea.
Yeah, tell Katie to schedule better.
You know. But can you? So it's at Union Station this time.
Yeah,
it's like a straight shot down lake basically to get there. But can you get on the train right there? No.
From downtown?
Yeah, from Union.
Where do you go from downtown? You gotta,
because Bug will be at Union Station.
Union Station.
So you gotta walk up to the Green Line.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be, I think that's called the Lake Stop on the Green Line.
Right? Oh, so it's not that far.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So
if you want to take the CTA, it's definitely doable because you'd get off at Lake and Ashland, and we're two blocks north.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Bug in Garfield Park, you hop on the Green Line.
Yep,
two stops the other way.
So you come out the north entrance at Union Station and then walk a few more blocks. I mean, get you 3-4 blocks in.
Or a quick Uber.
Get on that, one of those and get over there.
So 7 years, man.
I know. I can't believe it.
And then we were talking,
7 year itch.
Nick was talking Ravinia, and their new spot. And you guys started there.
We did.
Yeah. Or not at the artist. Not at Ravinia.
No,
but
it was something else before.
Yeah, I forget. It was alt prop, right? And there was like a couple of breweries in there. I want to say at least three.
It was Ale Syndicate. Yep.
Oh, that's right. It was Ale Syndicate's joint. That's right.
It was Ale Syndicate's joint.
Man, this thing moves so fast.
And 350 was working out of there with us.
And
they had a tank.
Arcade.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Arcade was there.
And 51st Ward did a little work out of there.
51st Ward. I didn't realize 350 was there.
I didn't realize that. I feel like Arcade got the worst of it all.
Arcade was doing, you know, by far, after Ale Syndicate, I think they were doing the most volume out of there.
And then it just... Us closing.
Between us and them was kind of neck and neck at the end.
You were already making moves before.
We were already brewing down at Excel Brewing down in...
Like downstate somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. East St. Louis or whatever the hell. Breeze, Illinois, technically. Basically, yeah. So we had moved most of our bottle... Those were in bottles?
Oh, man.
We had moved most of our bottle volume down there and had 2 40-barrel tanks at the Ale Syndicate spot. And we're just doing like... You know, that's where we did Vera for the first time as let's see what this does. And now it's our, you know, bestseller, right? So, yeah. But we're just doing draft-only stuff out of there at the end. Thank God. because that unraveled quickly.
Hey, props to you, man, because you saw the writing on the wall, right? You kind of diversified your interests a little bit.
Well, we got lucky. Okay. You know, more than anything. I don't know if I saw the writing on the wall. I was like, we couldn't keep up with the volume on that machine. I was going to break my back and we were going to try to bottle all that shit.
It was really, you were doing better. Like, you were doing so well, you had to move on.
Yeah, yeah,
so it wasn't even like... I don't trust these guys. Or like,
We got blindsided by the whole thing. And, yeah. But it ended up working out great because then we, you know, ended up moving on and working with Burnt City when they were over at the Jay's Potato Chip Factory.
Right.
But they had a canning line, so we moved out of bottles and into cans. So it was like, you know, all this serendipitous shit that always happens, you know, in your whatever journey you're on, right? So.
Yeah. And then we're just going to open up the new spot at the old Ram.
Up in Wheeling. Yeah, you heard, huh?
You're part of that, right?
Yeah, we are. We definitely are. We're working on getting that going right now. So construction is happening. We just got, I think, knock on wood, I think we got through all the permitting issues. And okay. So, you know, it's going to happen sometime this summer.
I feel like
Wheeling
or just the city, whatever, chamber would be like, yeah, just get something in here in this abandoned building.
Right? We want the tax revenue. Yeah.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
That's gonna be. It's gonna be a similar layout, right? As like pour your own beer, kind
of. We'll do the pour your own thing, beer hall. Lily's Q is gonna run the kitchen up there. We're gonna have a couple of additional food options in addition to just. It'll be all run by Lily's Q, but be more than just barbecue and chicken. Although there will be barbecue and chicken up there. Okay. But yeah, some other fun stuff. So it's going to be fun. It's going
to
be good.
That's cool. And then so it'll be you and District Brew Yards, and then the other breweries are TBD.
Yeah, I don't know where we are with announcements, so I'm going to just kind of keep that.
That's fine. All right. You know, we'll ask after
chill
we,
until
after we stop
send
recording.
Out the press release. Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
That's I'm not cool. sure what I'm supposed to say right now, so I'm just going to not say anything.
Yeah, drink some more beer.
Yeah, right? Exactly. The 9% stout here. Yeah.
Is it really a 9% stout?
Yeah.
That's funny.
You ready to go?
I don't know.
These pastry sours we've been drinking, the strawberry and blueberry, these are only 6%, which I thought was a real good landing spot for this style. You know, you want something that's not wimpy, but not overpowering either. You know, you could have more than one. At 6, right?
That's fair.
Yeah, I feel like 6, that 6, 6, 5 is kind of like that good spot to be like, okay. And then once you get over 7, people, or at least me, is like, I don't know if I want that one. I'll go with this, like 4% beer.
You think. Yeah. At 7, you think, right?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a thinker. And at 9, it's like half.
Yeah,
I gotta split this with somebody.
You got like a small pour?
Well, 9 is a sharing size nowadays. I mean, unless you're overwhelmed, like we know, like sometimes you just want to be overwhelmed by something. Then you're just like, open another one. Yeah, get after it. But not all the time.
I did open one of our barrel-aged barley wines on Masters Saturday and said, I'm drinking a goddamn barley wine
sometimes
today.
That's where you want to be.
Yeah, I opened it at like 2 p.m. and I think I finished it at like 7. So just, you know, just a sipper.
Yeah.
Take a while with it, you know.
Has there been any beers in the series so far you were like, thinking a flavor might work, like a rhubarb or a kiwi. And
oh yeah,
like,
what were the other ideas that led to the final lineup?
This is all really new, right? And so, like I say, we piloted these two. In fact, this blueberry one we're drinking now is the pilot version. We just did a 7-barrel of that and only sold it at a brew yard so far, but we're brewing it next week for distro. So we'll do, you know, a big 30-barrel batch of it. And very few changes are going to happen to this blueberry one. It is kind of locked. It's what it is. The strawberry one, we first made it. It didn't have that deep red color we had, so we knew we wanted to get more of that in. It needed a little more sweetness. It needed a little more of the milk sugar. So, you know, we made some changes and turned out, you know, great when we, you know, had it ready to go out to the public. We've got a whole list of other ideas that we'll be doing. Likely after the blueberry pancake will be a key lime pie,
okay.
We're thinking.
Nice.
And then, you know, we'll see how fast these all sell through, but that should get us to a point in the year where then we're ready to transition over to the stout side of things. So we've got a cinnamon roll ready to go for that. We've got a French toast flavor ready to go for that. A bunch of different ideas. So.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it could become a very seasonal fruit thing too. Like I don't know all the fruits and things that are available throughout the year, but yeah,
totally right.
Whatever berry is in season, you're like, all right, it's time for.
It's the fruit consideration, but then it's also like I don't want to do a pie every time. You know, that's why we got pancakes coming up second, and we're gonna go back to pie. But I've got like crostatas and like other pastry items. Yeah. You know, that were
chocolate croissants.
That we're thinking. Ooh, that's a good idea. That's interesting. I'm gonna write that down. Yeah.
Chocolate croissants are underrated.
How would you mimic those flavors in a beer though? Because the big thing with the croissant is the flaky texture.
That's true. It's kind of buttery. Croissant.
Buttery. Right.
Butter
and chocolate. Yeah. I don't know. Think about that. It's an interesting challenge.
Could you sour it without people thinking it was off to get that like buttery?
I would probably do that one in a stout rather than in a sour.
Yeah, but if you've got like that buttery bacteria in it that wasn't. Yeah, I don't know.
Just create a shitload of diacetyl. Yeah. Here, done. Yeah. Nick's face on that one.
Like
whatever.
An acceptable version of an acceptable amount of diacetyl, yeah.
Chocolate right. Diacetyl, let's go. Man, that's fun. The different series are great that you've been kicking out. I don't know, it's fun to just go there and be like, all right, I'll have my Vera, and then I'll try this whatever series on.
You know what I like about the series is it gives you a sandbox to play in, right? And sometimes when you guys know this because you're both in creative endeavors, right? When you just unbound creativity and say, go do whatever, it's harder because there's so many choices that can be made. But if you say, these are the parameters, right? Now we're dealing with pastry stouts, right? Or now we're dealing with, you know, high-end hazies or whatever with hashtag scent. Now you've got a sandbox that you're playing in, okay. And you have a set of parameters. It's like, okay, what am I going to do within that? And it actually makes it easier to create, I find, when you have some sort of defining parameter. Yeah. Does that make any sense?
No. Totally. So it also helps you if you get bored in one set, you'd be like, all right, it's time for
this. Yeah, we're never bored. We're doing stuff all the time.
Yeah, we understand, you know, the brew yards, you know, the shared space, right? And everybody's got their own wall. We don't know how the different brands play together. So, like, are there times where you guys are just kind of riffing and throwing ideas off each other and you might come up with something that somebody else uses?
You're like, that's not a Around the Bend beer. That's a Bulldog beer. Like, you guys could, you should run with this. I think it would work good maybe next year.
Exactly.
Mango Hefeweizen. Let's do a Kiwi Hefeweizen.
Or are those things kind of separate and everyone just kind of says, all right, these are my songs and this is what I'm bringing and make, you know, record these songs.
It's a little more the latter, where the collaborating or the helping each other happens is when somebody has a definitive idea that they're working on. They're like, have you ever faced X problem or, you know, Y problem? You know, we bounce that kind of shit off each other. It's not so much like, I'm thinking about making this beer. Well, no, I'd rather do that. You know, that doesn't happen. No.
Okay.
No. We're all coming up with our own, you know, ideas. We're cognizant of what each other is doing. And, you know, we wouldn't want to step on anybody's toes if, like, somebody came up with an idea.
Right. Everyone, you know,
very specific
like,
idea.
We're doing strawberry beers. And everyone's like, I already have one that's like ready to go.
And it's fine if somebody else, like a Bulldog, I'm pretty sure has done a strawberry sour.
Okay.
And their strawberry, or a strawberry, they've done a strawberry. They've done a strawberry something. I can't remember if it was a sour, if it was one of their Hefs or what. But that's okay. We can both do that because we have a very different take.
Sure.
On a strawberry beer than anything that's been done in-house, you know, to date. And that's cool. But if like, like, I've made it, you know, kind of known that when we open up Wheeling, I'm working on a low-cal, low-carb beer,
oh,
right?
Okay.
That is still craft and full-flavored, right? A tricky trick, but yeah. I think I've got a way to do that. And I'm like, I don't want anybody else doing low-cal, low-carb.
Okay.
Because I'm doing that, you know? So don't fuck with that area now, you know?
That probably feels pretty good for the suburban audience out there that would probably
we might put it on an Ashland too. I think it could be, you know, good for the summertime. You know, we'll see. But it's that kind of thing where it's like, if it's a you know, you're taking a whole area, you know, and well, let me rephrase that. Because a whole area sounds bigger, and like, it's like nobody's going to do, like, I'm doing Hefeweizen. Nobody can do a Hefeweizen here except me. Well, that's bullshit. You can't just take a whole category of beer, right? You know, and
especially like a core classic style.
Yeah. We do IPAs. You can't do IPAs.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that wouldn't fly, right? That wouldn't be cool. But if you have a very specific idea, you know, like I'm talking about here.
Yeah. I'm like, is that me? Like, what the fuck's going on?
It's not me.
Okay. Then it's probably me.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's mine.
Anyway, did I answer your question about how
I think so. That yeah. Works? It sounds like you more or less kind of just stake out like, yo, this is what I'm doing instead of like, the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of make claims on what you're going to do and bring everyone in the loop. If you're feeling passionate about
something. If there's something very specific. Like, that doesn't happen very... Like, this one I felt was, like, specific enough where I'm like, you know, I always kind of want to let you guys know I'm doing this, you know, so let's not all try to do this, you know? And it's all cool. It's like no hard feelings or nothing like that.
Well, it gives you also... You get to test out this yeast... And you're like, hey, this is good. You guys should
try. Now, yeah, that's a good point. So, like, if anybody else at Breers wanted to use either the Lallemand or the Berkeley, you know, these bioengineered yeasts that do the souring, have at it. That'd be great. I think it's a great technology.
And then
it's
cool. Know a little more like, oh, yeah, this worked or this whatever.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So with each of those different strains, you know, we charted very closely on a day-by-day basis how is the pH dropping so we could see what that profile looked like, find, you know, like, where is it going to end up, and, like, temperature can affect that.
Okay.
So if you ferment at this temperature, you're going to end up down here. If you ferment up here, you'll have a higher, you know, finishing pH. Happy to share that info with everybody.
Do you have to worry with the yeast? I know other people who do sour beers or sour breweries have like almost like a dedicated area so it doesn't like infect other beers.
So that's the other great thing about this is these are Saccharomyces strains of yeast.
So it's not
regular sac strains.
Okay.
There's no bugs in it. Okay. It's just been that one gene has been edited so that it throws off lactic acid in the fermenter.
That's great. That's
so you don't have to worry about
it sounded like, and I was like,
that clean versus sour. You don't have to worry about that. That's another nice thing, yeah.
Yeah, having to worry about, like, everyone else's beer, be like, all right, now everything's infected.
Yes, we definitely don't want that. We have that little area. You guys have both been to Breard, so, you know, in the cellar, we have that little area in the back that we call the acid lab, where there's some little seven-barrel fermenters back there and separate hoses. So if we are going to mess with bugs, that all happens back there.
Okay.
And, you know, different equipment, like I say, different hoses that doesn't ever touch clean beers. So we've got, you know, like I said, we've got that lambic, you know, lambic-esque. You can't be a lambic if you're not in Belgium, right? But it's of that family.
Style, lambic style.
Yeah. It's got, you know, the Brett and the Pediococcus and, you know, all that in there. And that was done back there and then put into barrels, you know. So we can do that. But, yeah, this allows us to play in the bigger batches. And, like, that beer, the lambic beer, whenever that is done, that won't be able to go into cans. Because that can't touch the canning line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we have a separate, like, little hand bottle filler that we'll have to do it on that in, like, 750s or 500 milliliter bottles.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The canning line does not get any beers with bugs, ever.
Does your personal professional brewing story kind of begin when Around the Bend started, or were you at other locations before you had the idea for Around the Bend? Like, what's the backstory there?
No, I spent 20 years in the advertising and marketing business before the entrepreneurial bug, you know, kind of really bit me so hard that I had to jump.
Speaking of bugs,
and do it. Yeah, exactly right. But I started homebrewing back in like '95. Back in college days. So, and I kind of just kept that up all the way along as I was working through, you know, my first career. And I knew just enough about brewing to be really dangerous in a brew house, you know? So I definitely, that was the first, you know, thing I did was I reached out and I got a partner who still works with me on a, you know, kind of a contract basis, you know, as my, you know, quasi head brewer or, you know, brewing technology specialist or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, so he provides a lot of technical assistance on that end. But yeah, we come up with all the recipes, and sometimes I'll still, you know, if it's something really wild we're doing, I'll, you know, we did this with strawberry pie before we did this in a 7-barrel at Brie Yards. I busted out the rig at home and I did a 6-gallon batch of it, you know, just to play with that yeast and kind of see what it does. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. I love how the roots in pro brewing are like directly related to like home brewing.
Yeah.
You know, and you can yield some really cool professional results and it's direct link all the time. It's pretty cool to always kind of hear that theme, you know?
Yeah, that you could just start at home and be like, all right, I got here by just brewing in my kitchen.
And just doing what doing what you feel, right?
Essentially, yeah. And being just dumb enough to try this.
We're going to do this times 1,000. Yeah.
So we just opened the Cinnamoroll breakfast stout. And yeah, that cinnamon is big and makes me like instantly think of like winter and Christmas. Like,
does it?
It's hard to like
good
not get like that burst of cinnamon and be like, oh wait, is it snowing? Like feel it.
I'm probably my own biggest critic, so like when I drink this I notice things that I definitely want to change, you know, when we brew this again. A little less roast, a little more sweetness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a little more, get more of that. So the cinnamon is there, I agree with you, but I need more of that, like the icing on a cinnamon roll.
Okay.
I need to bring more of that out, I think, when we do this again to go out to market.
Yeah.
So I got, you know, I know what we need to do to tweak that one, but yeah, it's a good first effort.
Yeah, I get more of the sweet bread, more of the sweet cinnamon, and like hints of like because of the body, like hints of like a cola a little bit for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a very kind of gourmet.
A Christmas cola?
Yeah, I'm getting those kind of vibes, yeah.
So yeah, we think this is going to be a really fun series. We don't know how.
Oh shit! This is 9%.
That one is, yeah.
Oh man,
that's the thing Joe does really well in his recipes. Is hides the alcohol.
It doesn't pour like that
really
at all.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how. I mean, the strawberry pie. We shipped it to Glunt's 3 weeks ago, and there's only like 30 cases left in inventory. We sold out all the 6 barrels already. So.
Damn.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a good start. For this one, you can still find it out there if you're looking for it.
Okay. And it's on shelves
at Brie Yards. Yep. And then we'll move on to blueberry pie after that, and you know we'll see. Hopefully, you know, it becomes a big part of the lineup because we like these beers.
Yeah. So, have you been over to just Brie Yards in a while? This since all of everything happened.
It's been a while. It's been a while. I'm due for a visit. Okay. I popped in there randomly.
And come after Bug.
Oh, sure. that's our time to go, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because I do love the modern beer hall aesthetic of Brie Yards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when we drink it on the show, I'm reminded, like, man, you know, all four of these guys, they're bringing it. And if you go there, you can have them all, you know, and pour your own beer. I like the whole setup.
Yeah. I think that's what people like the most is the ability to not be locked into one thing. You know, like I can go have 2 ounces of this and 2 ounces of that and 3 ounces of that.
Yeah.
Or if you find one you really love, pour yourself a whole pint of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. We had like a little work meetup there and one of the ladies brought her husband and he wasn't part of the like community and he just went and had 2 ounces of every beer. He went down the entire
list
and checked in on untapped on every
that's
of them.
80 ounces of beer.
he was like, jeez, man.
It's a young man sport right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just come back to the table with like a handful of plastic cups. You're like,
that's awesome.
All right. That's next.
I think we're taking like a pick or two, right?
Yeah.
To remember the beer.
Checking in and going down the list. It was like crazy.
That's hardcore. But we all been there. I've definitely been there, you know, just removed from it. But I've definitely been there.
What I like seeing at Brie Yards is somebody will go up and you can just hear the thought bubble and that, you know, they look at the screen and they're like, that sounds weird. And you watch them put their card in and do a really short pour. And then they like stand right there at the tap and they taste it. And then they go in for the full pour, you know, and they fill up that glass. It's like, that's awesome, you know.
Yeah, because that's right. I feel like, there's no other brewery that does that. But there's other concepts of, like, pour your own concepts.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I don't know who came first, but I feel like at least I personally visited brew yards before I visited these other places.
Tapster, or yeah, one of those.
Navigator.
Or,
exactly. Navigator, yeah, we just named the other two.
Yeah. Those are the other two in town, yeah.
Right, we just named the other two. But yeah, I feel like those, either I haven't been to those or I was just at brew yards first. I feel like that was kind of like the edge of it, and then the other ones came.
Yeah, I haven't gone to the other two, but I don't know what I would want. I don't know why I would go there when I could go to just brew yards and have fresh beer.
Actual
brew right there. Right. It's like, oh, what am I going to go to? I don't know what Navigator has. Like, oh, I'm going to have tried the Sierra Nevada like this. Or, you know, right, or exactly. Be like, oh, I'm going to have Pipeworks beer. Or like, okay, cool. All right.
That's where I think the synergy of brewed on site and pour your own and, you know, the great food that we have there. Like, it all just kind of works together to make it more than,
yeah,
you know.
How does this feels like a good match for you, right? Because you're going to expand and do the thing and willing.
Mm-hmm.
But how does this compare to the other relationships? Did you even have those kind of conversations? Like maybe with I guess at the space with Arcade or the space with where you were
to like open up the own spot.
Yeah, did you even like have those kind of conversations with those other crews that you've worked with in the past?
No, I mean, you know, where we started, you know, over, you know, the now defunct El Syndicate space, that was always like, you know, a short term, you know, get it started, you know, kind of thing, right? The All Prop thing was always meant to be, you know, a precursor to, you know, opening our own space. And then when that, you know, devolved the way it did and we had to pivot really quickly and, you know, Burnt City, I had just happened to have a conversation with them like a couple weeks before. Their COO, Greg, was pouring next to me at a liquor store beer fest, you know, or tasting event. And he was like, hey, if you ever need an extra capacity, you know, we just did this thing down at the Jay's Potato Chip Factory. I'm like, no, we're good. We're good. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, hey, you remember when we talked? So that, like, you know, just sort of was serendipitous the way that, you know, relationship started. But then it was a year into that, it was, you know, Steve, who owns Burnt City, came and sat me down and was like, I've got this idea. You know, and it was like, why is there, you know, food halls are all the rage in restaurant land for XYZ reasons, right? Why is there no food hall for beer? And like the light bulb just went off with me. And so it was at that point, like we were at this fork in the road. It's like, we're either gonna go, you know, do another fundraising round and go build our own thing,
yeah,
or we're gonna go and we're gonna do this thing. We're gonna partner up over here and do this. And so, you know, the vision, you know, that he had for it and the scope and the scale of it. I'm like, we're never gonna be able to do anything that kind of grand on our own in the near term, you know. So I'm like, let's bet on that. So
and it. For you, it de-risks it a little bit. Like,
yeah. So you're, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you're like, this isn't my spot, but it is my brand. And so if it fails, well, that's us. But at the same time, it's like you're not, all right, we raised $1 million, $2 million to build a brewery here.
Right, yeah, exactly. So. And this relationship doesn't preclude us from doing something like
that's
that.
Cool.
You know, in fact, I just looked at a building not too long ago. Well, I guess it was, you know, a couple months ago now, but you know, it's perfect for what I would want to do. Can't come to terms with the guy who thinks it's worth, you know, the sun on the moon. So fine, go ahead, see if you can get that. But like if that deal ever came together, we could go do that as well.
Oh, okay.
So you could continue. Yeah.
Oh, because you could be in distributors and then have.
Sure, our own thing somewhere. Right. Nice. Yeah, could. And maybe that'll happen someday. But
I feel like that would benefit both in a sense. Like, okay, people like our beer. They're also going to come to distributors
absolutely.
More beer and then learn about these other breweries.
And we're hoping, you know, there's no set plans or anything, but we're hoping that there's more than two distributor yards at some point,
right.
You know, so we'll see how that all goes, right?
Nice. Yeah. I find ourselves, I'm just so, you know, we're saucing a little bit, but, but you know, that's something about, man, like, you know, we drink a lot of Around the Bend, and I'm not sure why that is, right? I mean, it's good.
You're not sure.
I just keep buying it.
We keep drinking it. You know, it's something about, you know, the logo, right? The, you know, we hang out with you, you know, and then like you got this cool history, and then all these different types of approaches. I've had the barrel aged barley wine, all these different styles of beer, you know, and it's just it's just a very cool project. I think that's all it was. It just kind of dawned on me, like, man, we've been drinking these beers for a while, you know. And I'm just glad it's like a part of the scene, you know.
Thank you. That's nice to say.
That's cool,
man. I think our biggest problem, you know, still to date, is brand awareness. Yeah. I feel like, you know, we'll go to like, you know, tastings at a liquor store or a festival, and like, oh, you know, who are you? How long have you been around? I'm like, 7 goddamn years, man. I mean, how do you not know?
It's hard, man.
It's just because there's so many. It's hard. There's exactly. so many great small breweries in this town doing great work.
Well,
making great beer.
We did a show like basically every week, and yeah. Nick just went to a brewery this past weekend. They were like, we didn't even know this was a
no
place.
Fucking
it was inside see, exactly. a distillery.
And that's the only reason I went, because it was a distillery. Yeah. Pandemonium Brewing, Nightshade and Dark Pandemonium Brewery.
I heard about them just recently, yeah.
I just happened to be going to the distillery, and I'm like, wait, there's a brewery here?
Right? And see?
You just kind of fell into
They're
it.
They're probably like 5 years old.
Throw a dead cat, and you'll hit a brewery in this town, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the journey, man. The journey yeah. is something.
Like, we went to, man, what was it, like 2 months ago, we went to Lunar.
Ah, I love Lunar.
Which is the weirdest place
ever. The Neil Armstrong that they make every kind of Christmas time. Fantastic.
I was like, Nick, let's go to Moore. And then I put in the GPS, and we were thinking we'll go to the Huntley one, and I put in the wrong one.
Oh, okay, so for Villa
like,
Park.
Yeah, and I'm like, we are totally in the wrong spot. Where are we? I was like, wait, Lunar is
this right over there.
So we went to Lunar, and it was like 4 o'clock on like a Wednesday or something, right?
Yeah.
We walk in, it was the weirdest, like, it was almost like everyone looked at us coming in.
Now, did you guys go in the back and see the brew setup?
No, we didn't.
Oh, you should have.
No.
You have to next time.
Okay.
It will freak you out. Like, they make some really good beers there, but it's like, it's Frankenbrew, man.
We said the place felt like it was a VFW that was a brewery.
Yeah.
It had like
That's a great description. Got the dartboard over there. Yeah. And
I think it was like around Christmas time, they still had Halloween decorations up.
Yeah, it sounds about right. That sounds about right.
I'm like, they for sure do Breakfast with Santa and all of their
Toys for Tots.
They for sure do all that shit up in here, man.
But they're like another brand that of someone that's they've been around for so long. I just like they fly.
They're just down. Doing their thing. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a fun ride, man.
But yeah, I feel like the business side of the small brewing game is like way harder than the making the beer side, you know?
Okay.
And like, you know, breaking through in the market and all that, you know?
Yeah, because some of it is like, all right, you know, whoever's selling your beer, like you roll with Glunz, and some of the responsibility you just kind of, you know, defer to Glunz. But a lot of it, it's like, if it's going to work, and it's your vision, so you're really kind of pushing it yourself. And like,
I mean, yeah, I've got 2 sales guys on payroll for us, you know, on the, you know, the supplier side. Yeah, Glunz has been a great partner to us, but it's like, if you're going to break through in that, even in that book, you got to have your own people focused on your brand. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's advice I got from even before we started from multiple different people. It's like, don't rely on anyone else to sell your beer.
Yeah.
You must take responsibility for that. You know? Otherwise, this is not going to happen. So.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting thing because we go to these different breweries, we drink different beer, or a new beer maybe is down the brewery, but like someone like Phase 3 or Hop Butchers kind of like broke through the noise out of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
How? I don't know. We don't even drink them that often. But yet, people know them. It's weird.
The power of a brand. And I know a lot about that, but it's just like, and doing it is a different thing, you know? It's like.
Yeah. But you also, like, doing something different helps break through that. Too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we talked about the kettle sours, but this is a different thing, and it's kind of like, it could break through, and people are going to, like, find this and be like, oh, I like these flavors better than these other flavors.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Fun.
We just like to make all kinds of different stuff and have an option for everybody, you know?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Right on. Cool.
Nick, anything we missed? I think we talked about... Oh, we did forget to ask you. You showed up the first time we did an interview. You showed up with this, like, briefcase.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You
with
did.
With your beers in them.
Oh, yeah, the BevPad. That's right. That thing is cool.
We have, like, talked about this, I think. Like,
oh, since we last saw you. It's like some international man of mystery shit. This fucking
should have brought the bed pad today.
Yeah. I didn't have as many, so I figured out that it's fitting the little things.
Yeah, we're playing Mario Kart, and I'm like, I bet he just lost it over the years.
No, I have that. I have that. I still have it.
It was really cool. When we first saw it, it was like the scene in Pulp Fiction where he opens it and it glows, and we're like,
yellow. What
the fuck's going on?
What's in there?
It was cool, man. Yeah. Wow.
I will remember to bring that next time then. Absolutely.
Anything else we missed that we're like, yeah?
I think we touched it all, man. Around the bend.
What's coming up at District Brew Yards? There's like a Wing Fest thing happening.
So yeah, Charlie's throwing a wing ding with a bunch of great chefs in town, Stephanie Isard, and I'm going to forget who all else, but they're doing a thing over there for that. That'll be a lot of fun. That's coming up soon.
The bug after party.
And
Illinois Craft Beer Week, not Chicago.
We did the first in a series of beer dinners that we're going to be doing at Briard's. I think it was last week. And so we're going to like do single breweries. So like the first one around was Burn City. Okay. And so Charlie, you know, from Lily's Q, you know, had the guys in the kitchen make some dishes to pair with, I think it was four courses. It might have been five. Don't quote me on that. But it was like, you know, all Burn City beers. And then they made something to go with each one of those. And cool. It was like a set price and come in. And so then we'll take a turn doing that. And Casa will take a turn doing that. And Bulldog. So those will kind of roll out throughout over the summer. That'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, in the patio, you know, once the weather gets good, hopefully soon. And so, oh my God, this weather's killing me. But yeah, got the big patio out there.
Definitely fake spring right now.
Fake spring. Yeah,
71 day, 35 next. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it's sunny, but it's 80 mile an hour winds today. Yeah. You know, so
that's the city.
I went running and almost like blew over. I was like, all right, I gotta go back.
And I see your Sox sweatshirt. So if you have any Sox fans listening and you go to the game, go to the Craft Cave. We've got
ATB's
there. Vera and acid test down there year. So
right on.
Nice. Yeah. You took the picture of the cave. Did you see it?
Yeah. There was a ton of beers though.
Yeah.
There are it's a ton
like
of
60
beers.
Maybe 60
like
beers.
Six coolers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got to be targeted. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Yeah. So I'm going to check it out next time I go.
You're there like every other day.
I mean, you know, it's like, you know, if we stay
whatever the giveaway is.
If we stay at home, we're going to argue. If we go to Sox Park, we can drink 60 different beers, and there's a cool giveaway. This was a giveaway.
That was a giveaway?
Yeah.
Do you guys have season tickets?
No. 10 game.
Oh, yeah.
10 right game. On. So, like, partial.
My wife and my oldest were supposed to go last night, and they were, like, looking at the weather about 3 o'clock, and we were like, maybe not. We'll hit a game soon.
Nice. Cool.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. This is fun, as always.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming into, like, the new space. Your first here with
it's
us.
It's nice. I like it.
This is great, yeah. So, chicagobeerpass.com, where all the episodes are. Follow Around the Bend. Follow District Brew Yards. Keep up to date. And we're always drinking their beer. So, keep a lookout for more episodes.
Right on.
Cheers.
Cheers.